one. Oh, good. So, good afternoon and evening to my Northern Hemisphere guests, and so lovely you could come to the call. And a very good morning to all of those of you who might have joined us in the Southern Hemisphere down under. I'm coming to you from the wonderful land of Oz here, and I'm so delighted that you have come to find your purpose and turn it into prosperity. An interview with the delightful and awesome Ava Waites. And this is such a delightful opportunity because I have the good fortune to bring Ava onto the call to ask her all about the secrets to prosperity. And my name's Lisa Fitzpatrick, and if you're not familiar with me, I'm from Sacred Women's Business at www.lisafitzpatrick.com.au, and I specialise in supporting spiritual women entrepreneurs to find their sole purpose. And that is in order that they can give back to their communities and leave legacies for the well-being of the future. So, hi Ava, you're on the call with us.
Oh, hi Lisa. I am so thrilled to be here today. Thank you again. Such a wonderful invitation.
Welcome. Welcome. So wonderful to know you're on the call. And the reason this call is so important for all of you listening is because I'm just seeing one too many women, especially those conscious, spiritual, heart-centered types of women, you know who you are, who often come to Sacred Women's Business Coaching, suffering from what I call a spiritual vow of poverty. And what this means is that they're silently suffering from lack in their amazing heart-centered businesses, ashamed of how much the abundance actually matters to keep their business sustainable. And they are frightened that it might be perceived as non-spiritual to want abundance in their businesses and their life, or to even be perceived as focusing in on that very thing. So this call is for you if you have a deep sense of purpose, but you've been resisting the call to make it into a prosperous enterprise for fear of it becoming a money trap. Or perhaps you're on purpose and you just want to break through to a new understanding that you are actually healed financially and it no longer causes you worry or loss of sleep or cause for concern about what anyone else thinks of you. So what I believe is that abundance channeled into the hands of women and people like you who are conscious and purposeful, entrepreneurial, that this will result in a major transformation and healing on our planet as the world's wealth can be redistributed to philanthropic missions, to community support and projects, and to the disadvantaged who have waited far too long for you, girl, to claim your worth. And I believe when you're a spiritual woman on purpose working her dharma that you are entitled to limitless abundance and that true spirituality really is very expansive and abundant in nature. So without any further ado, I am going to be so delighted to reveal through this interview the secrets that Ava Waites has in store for you. And Ava is an amazing woman. She supports entrepreneurs and aspiring speakers to feed the source of their success, release financial constriction, and build a professional life that bends to their itinerary. The same processes that she teaches her clients were what allowed Ava to go from earning $1,200 per month in her business to signing on over $17,000 worth of new business in 30 days. How would you like that for an injection? She mentors entrepreneurial women all over the world to create richer businesses. As a speaker, Ava has also been interviewed on television. She's been invited to train and inspire audiences at business events, women's organizations, fundraisers, and financial companies. And you can visit Ava at www.avawaites, that's waites.com. And I am so excited that you are here, Ava. Thank you so much for coming to charm and delight us with your incredible knowledge and experience. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm just, you know, hearing you share all of that about what we as women business owners can do for the world when we make money through our business, that is making me really excited right now in this very moment. So I really want to thank you for sharing all of that. Amazing.
Oh, Thank you, Ava. I knew that you were a woman aligned and on purpose with this vision that we are all doing this for the planetary good. And I'm fascinated by women like you who have found their purpose and are doing it unashamedly in a prosperous way. So tell me a little bit about how you found your purpose. You had an amazing hand analysis story around this.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I feel like there are almost three levels or three layers of what I consider to be my current life purpose right now. And hand analysis actually came in, that was actually the most recent thing that unveiled a little bit of my life purpose. And I want to take all of you back even a little bit earlier in time. I believe it was about 3 or 3.5 years ago when I was actually, so Lisa, this is at a point when I was, like when I first started my business, I was struggling quite a bit financially. It wasn't really just all easy to make money for my company at the beginning. And so what I had done is I took a house sitting job. I was getting paid for a house sitting job for several days. And I was alone at the house with these dogs, and this house belonged to someone that I've known for many years. And it was one night at this house when I was just, I was not feeling good. I was not physically ill, but just emotionally just down, just worrying about, oh, am I going to make money ever? Also just having some old things from my past kind of pop up and just, you know, it didn't exactly feel very good. And that evening I was scanning the internet, and I was going through a ton of personal development websites, and I came across this way to uncover your purpose in about 20 minutes. At least that was the promise of it.
Wow.
And it was interesting. I said, well, okay, I'm here. I'm alone. I'm not feeling so great, so maybe this would really help. And so I went through this process, and about an hour into it for me, I stumbled across something and was writing down something that really did bring me to tears at that point in time. And that was what you were supposed to look for, is you wanted whatever resonated with you and actually created an emotional response in your body. And that pointed toward a piece of your life purpose. And for me, I would love to share this. I don't know if I've ever shared this, actually.
leaning in big time.
Yeah. So the thing that came up for me about 3.5 years ago was to be an example of bliss. And when I stumbled across that, I was thinking, oh, well, okay, but how do I make money out of that, right? Here I am, right? I mean, when we don't have a lot of money, that's kind of all our mind goes to is, well, how can I make money out of that? And but I just kind of, I put that aside for a little while and said, okay, so I see it as my duty at that time I was doing nutritional coaching with people, you know, now I'm working with other entrepreneurs, but at that point I said, okay, so I have to be an example of bliss for everyone who's watching my work, for everyone who is wanting to eat better, for everyone who will work with me privately or in groups or over the phone, however they work with me. I, from that point on, took it as my duty to actually be an example of bliss. And you know the best part about that is that it gave me permission to be so much happier. And it was one of those points where I was already a pretty happy person, but it gave me full permission to be happy. It really did.
How wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And do you believe then that happiness and that joy was part of a turning point then for you, discovering that inside you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interestingly, when my finances were going through that huge shift of where I was making, you know, kind of okay, roughly maybe $1,000 per month, I had very low expenses. So for me, that covered most of everything, but there were a lot of ups and downs. So there were times where I sometimes had to ask people if I could borrow money and just, you know, had to go back and forth to some other employment a couple times, just kind of those little struggles. And, but what really happened for me when I said, okay, now I get to be an example of bliss, is that I came across a quote that was about, if you could be in a state of feeling wonderful for 30 days, that could lead you to everything you've ever wanted in your life. And I actually took that on. I actually started practicing that. So I started taking myself to cafes and walking outside more and doing these little things that brought me a lot of joy. And from that, I noticed that I started to be much more attractive to clients and to opportunities. I started getting speaking invitations, interview invitations, and I started signing on new clients. And so I do credit that piece of my life purpose there to be an example of bliss as the starting point to actually making money out of my life purpose.
How fantastic. Do you believe when you were committed to setting that example of bliss and happiness that it also gave you the same token of permission giving, that you were also given permission to step out to be more visible because you felt good about who you were? Did you feel there was a relationship with your visibility piece and that feeling?
Yeah, I did. I actually, I started my business when I was in my early 20s, and I remember being really self-conscious about my age, and I know that that was a part of me that I actually hid for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're a youngin. You're still a youngin, right?
I'm in my late 20s now, and I feel much more secure in everything now. But but when I first started out, I know that because of that fear of being judged, that I was not as visible as I could be. And now, I mean, you know, now I feel like I'm connected to people on every continent. I think I've coached clients actually on almost every continent now, all around the world. So it's definitely grown since then.
Phenomenal. I love it that women are stepping into this era where that's possible with our new technology, and that's what Sacred Women's Business really represents, that new wave of feminine entrepreneurship that's really only possible because we're on a frontier of technology now that's enabling women to get that message so far and wide. So I just want to say I love that you've been able to connect to Down Under and infiltrate your message here this way as well. It's just so fantastic for us down here. So thank you. What a fantastic example. So there was a second level to you finding your purpose then after that one, was
yes. Yes, and then there's a third, and I know with the time that we've set aside today, I won't go like deep into every single little detail, but I love sharing this. So the second level of this was I actually my income started picking up at that point quite a bit, to the point where I was ready to hire my first private mentor. And I had never worked with a private mentor before. I was so excited. I had known for 2 years before this that I was meant to work with her. And finally, you know, had the money to work with her. I was so excited. And so came in and started doing some work with her. And the one thing that she took me through was a process, and I don't even know exactly how she did it. Sometimes I don't question this just because I know that everything is pretty divinely planned. But she took me through a process where we uncovered my essence words. And these were words. We started actually by asking people around me, people who knew me, what what they saw in me, sort of what essence, you know, what I represented in essence form. And it's even a little hard to explain because it was, you know, it was an interesting process we went through. And so she helped me narrow it down to several words, which became my essence words. And I'll share just a couple of those today. And from each of those, I think especially for any of you, if you ever go through a process like this, you can actually take whatever you feel are your essence words and you can convert them into ways to make money. You can really use them in your business. Lisa, I'd love to share two of them, if that's okay with you.
I think I'd love you to, and I'm just encouraging anyone listening to write down what they think their essence words might be, because they could be your golden keys. So nice one, Ava. Thank you. Yes, tell us.
Yeah. So one of the words for me that came up was delight, like to delight in something. Mm. And interesting, right, that through an entirely different process, a different process of finding your essence words, here shows up a word that is very close to the word bliss. And
so similar, yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, I was still in my nutrition practice at that point, and so I took that word delight and I said, okay, how can we build coaching programs that let people delight in something? And so I started doing picnics with people. I started meeting people outside. I would have my initial conversations with potential clients. I would go to restaurants with them so we could delight in food and then talk about working together. And so I just added that into my business and said, okay, like, does this make me happy? Does this feel delightful? And I would also ask whenever I was setting something up for a client, does this feel delightful, or will the client find delight in this? And so that really helped to form many of the things that I was creating through my company.
What a powerful question to ask, and also really points to the fact that your clients must have really sensed the experience they were getting from you. They weren't just getting process, and they weren't just going into logical solutions to their dilemmas, but they were actually having an embodied emotional experience by working with you. So I think that's so powerful.
Yeah, and even today when I'm supporting entrepreneurs, I have an analytical mind. I totally do. And so I like going through some of the processes of marketing and some of those strategies. And then I also really like people to find pleasure out of everything that they're doing through their business. I think that is really important, or else why are we doing this?
Fabulous. I truly agree with you that is very much the woman's way at work, that if a woman can't feel that bliss and that pleasure, then it will be more difficult to key into that infinite abundance, I guess, that we're speaking of. Is that, would you say, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I actually have found, so this is so funny, Lisa, there have been times where I have been dancing in my bedroom, and you know, sometimes you just need to like have a really good dance, and you put on a few good songs, and several times this has happened where I've been dancing and then I open up my computer and a sale comes through.
Beautiful. I love it. Cannot, do you mind me asking you what your favorite song to dance to is?
My gosh, that is so hard. I will say there's a current theme song for me, which is by the band Rudimental, and it's I think it's called Feel the Love. Yeah, that's usually the song I listen to before I'm on teleclasses. So
excellent. I'll be looking that one up.
Rudimental, Feel the Love. I like that.
Feel the Love.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So can you tell me that fabulous next step for you? Yeah, that third. The second word, of course. We had the beautiful word delight, and your second word.
Yeah. So the second word was power. And that one actually surprised me. And so you, all of you, as you're going through processes around uncovering aspects of your purpose, you might have some things pop up that might surprise you a little bit. And so that one did. And I think sometimes this happens where we're not able to look at ourselves very well. Like, we don't have a real clear view of ourselves. So that's why it's really nice to have someone else go through this process of helping you discover your purpose, because they can see things that you can't always see. So
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Yeah. I get it from clients all the time too, that they just are, they're quite surprised at what these gifts are that everyone else can see, but because they come so naturally to us, sometimes we don't think they're any big deal because they just feel normal and natural, whereas to another person, they just think it's remarkable that you possess that particular skill set. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So power came up. Very interestingly, it was shortly after that. One thing that usually pops up, I feel, I don't think it has to happen to everyone, but as you grow as an entrepreneur and as more and more people find out about your work, that sometimes you might ruffle a few feathers. And you may say something that someone doesn't agree with, or, or maybe you have an argumentative Facebook fan or something like that. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
So as my reach started to grow as a businesswoman, that did start popping up where, every once in a while, I would get a weird comment or an email and, someone didn't like something I said, whatever it was. And I really found a lot of comfort knowing that one of my essence words was power, because often in situations like that, if you aren't able to tap into your own power and your own sense of well-being and your own inner knowledge that really shows you that you are okay, that you are still valuable, it can be, if you aren't tapped into all of that, it can be really hard to receive criticisms. And so it was really helpful for me to know that one of my essence words was power. It really helped me stay centered in the face of some of those criticisms. And even as I'm thinking recently, someone said something weird on Facebook to me. And it was actually the first time where it just totally slid over me. And I just, I heard her and everything, and I was like, but it didn't frustrate me like it used to. It's very different. I used to be really flustered by all of that, but not as much anymore.
I'm so happy you said that and that you brought that up, because my understanding from so many of my clients who are struggling with the prosperity piece is their concern about what other people might think if they do get more visible. And so being an example, as you are, of someone who's learnt how to be in your power and not really let those things stick, and know fully that you're committed to your cause and that you have every right to pursue your many gifts and talents in this world and to deliver them in ways that make the world a better place. So there's really nowhere for a criticism to land on that, if that makes sense. Your intentions are pure. You're going about your business to support others in a way that feels very authentic and aligned with who you are. And I just think it's so valuable for women to have an example like you, Ava, to see that that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. And usually the other person that is giving those criticisms, I mean, usually underneath all that, there's just some sort of pain there. And, and sometimes it doesn't even come from us. So it's interesting. So for any of you who are still in that place where, anytime a little critic speaks up and it's really difficult, it can be really helpful for you to connect in with your life purpose, because that means that even if that criticism shows up, you actually know that you are working for something that is for the greater good of so many more people, and that you probably will have critics, and and it's okay. And, you know, it just helps us grow a thicker skin so those criticisms don't bother us as much.
Thank you, Ava. I think that's such a priceless gift and worth, priceless. Thank you. I think there's so many women who, especially those very empathic, sensitive, soulful and spiritual women who really feel life deeply, that's an important thing to hear right now. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, tell me a little about your amazing hand analysis session.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I know some people listening in, you may be familiar with what hand analysis is. Some of you have maybe never heard of it. It's a very interesting way of reading the hands based on the lines and the fingerprints that are present on your hands. And I'm not trained in it, but I have a colleague who is. And so she's been reading my hands for a couple of years now. And it's not, you know, it's not like palm reading, like there's actually science to back up a lot of the lines and the meanings on the hand. So it's really interesting. So you can always do a search for it. So hand analysis. Just to put it out there, if you ever need a referral to a hand analyst, just let me know. You can always contact me through avawaits.com, and I can send you to the person that I go to or refer you to someone else. So it's so neat because through this, there actually is a way where they can find your life purpose based on the lines on your hand, which is, you know, still blows me away a little bit, but they can do this. Like I said, I'm not trained in it because there are some things that I just want someone else to be trained in so they can do it for me. Because it's very detailed art and science. And so one of the things that came up from my own hand analysis reading a couple of years ago was that I am my life purpose is a powerful innovator. And interesting first to notice that the word power comes back into that, right, Lisa?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, from a different place. So this is a different person. This is not the other coach that I worked with. So it's going to be really interesting for all of you as you follow this path, uncovering your aspects of your life purpose. You'll probably see some overlaps when you do these sorts of practices and uncover everything when you do it with different people. So powerful. I took that as someone who has strength to be in a leadership position and really help people connect to each other and inspire other people. And then the innovator aspect, which I always thought was really interesting, is that with the work that I do now with business owners, I love that conversation where they will bring a few ideas to me, and then we just talk about really interesting ways that you could connect these ideas together and then package them into a service or program, and then also looking at really unique ways that they can actually bring this service or program out into the world and also receive money for it. So I feel like I've taken my innovator quality, my innovator life purpose, and I get to do a lot of that in my business now with these other entrepreneurs that I'm supporting.
Oh, fantastic. And having what I'm hearing there too is that having that natural gift also gives you a lot of power behind your innovation capabilities. So when you're showing up in that powerful, innovative way, people really they really sense that you are in your full dharma, that you're in your full power, and that, you know, that you can in fact be the supportive leader that they're looking for because you have this unwavering strength and integrity behind what you're actually doing. So that's what I'm hearing there, Ava, which is just very inspiring as well.
And it's interesting too with this I think that innovative quality has also just helped in every like every evolution of my business, every evolutionary step of my business.
Yes, that occurred to me before when you were speaking. I realized that for you to have stepped onto the entrepreneurial train, that, you know, innovation would have been a big part of your quest as well. And no one steps into entrepreneurship without some creative streak that enables them to step outside the 9-to-5 grid and say, you know, I'm doing this my way, which is also a very exciting thing for women because we haven't had these kinds of opportunities in the past. So I just find that really fascinating. I'm wondering, I do have a lot of women coming for coaching all the time to find their purpose, and many of my clients also know exactly what it is that they want to do and what they're good at, but they're frightened. They're really frightened of turning it into a success story, and they hide their talent and downplay them, you know, they downplay them, and a part of them, I think, is frightened of how big their mission really is.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you believe makes the difference between those who successfully turn that mission into their reality, which then makes, you know, a prosperous and abundant lifestyle for them, and those who secretly struggle, you know, with this secret desire to have a much bigger life? What's the difference?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you brought this up. And actually, you know, I'm going to bring in a little bit of my nutritional background on this. And that's really interesting, too, I think, to notice that even some of this work that I do with entrepreneurs now, conveniently, I actually still get to talk about nutrition sometimes in very different ways now with these entrepreneurs. So I'm happy that I get to bring that in. So here's what I see going on for many women who are they have an idea of what they could do in this world, but they're not embracing it and they're kind of stuffing it down, is that I see them either creating a whole bunch of health problems or they get hurt, like physically hurt, because they're not paying attention to their purpose.
Wow, I'm blown away that you just said that after many years of working in hospitals and seeing that constantly and seeing this self-sabotaging mechanism that the body starts to rebel against, this refusal to answer the heroin call.
Mm-hmm.
So you go on, Ava. I'm leaning right in here.
So and I've actually witnessed this. You know, because I hang out in the entrepreneurial world, like I see people at these various stages of their business or at the stage where they're just thinking about getting started or just embracing something that they know they should be doing. But, you know, but sometimes those fears hold them back. And I have actually witnessed women, instead of following their true calling, they have stepped into a job just for the money. And I have to say a little bit more about that too, because I think that there is a place for employment, especially when you're starting your business. But sometimes I see women stay in employment way too long when they really need to be stepping out and taking that risk. And so I've actually seen women go into employment and it's kind of a way to ignore their passion, to ignore their calling. And I have actually seen them get hurt on the job. Like, I know several people who have gotten hurt on the job. And in my mind, I'm like, that makes sense. Like, you shouldn't have been there. Like, that's not where you're supposed to be. That's not what you're supposed to be doing right now. That's just not, you know, it's not following your life purpose to be working at that sandwich shop or whatever it is, you know. So it's a fine line there, because you do need to fund, you need to fund your business in the beginning, and a job can be a really great way to do that. But at a certain point, you need to take that risk and step out and make money through sharing your purpose with the world.
Thank you. You're giving everyone on this call permission to do that, right?
Yes.
Yes. And we're collectively also working in community as women. Our women work a lot better collaboratively in this way to support one another to make these really scary decisions to step out and declare, you know, their mission in life and be okay mm-hmm. with saying it out loud. And it then becomes the new normal. So I think a secret, you know, kept deep inside, one of my favorite phrases is don't die with your music still inside you, because how many of us have risked that. And I'm thinking of a very interesting book by a nurse, a palliative care nurse, Bronnie Ware, where she goes into the five regrets of the dying. And the number one regret of all of those palliating people in the hospice was that they wished so much that they'd had the courage to seek their what they really wanted to do instead of listening to everybody else and everything else around them. And many of them even attributed that life-threatening illness to not following their quest and their destiny.
Wow.
So I find that very sad. And we can step in and collaborate and support anyone on the call to say it's actually okay for you to give permission to yourself to, you don't need to ask for permission from anyone else, to really step into your power and be on purpose. Yay.
Yep. Great. And I didn't realize, so you have a background in medicine, is that right?
I didn't even, that's right.
Nursing?
Yeah, physiotherapy.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah. Well, perfect.
Yeah. And yoga teaching was my next my next career change. Following physio, the holistic care. I guess the thing that I really noticed the most about people, even in the yoga field as well, is that sense of being on purpose and wondering why am I here. Is such an evolving thing for many of us. And actually the question, why am I here? I think what I'm interested in now, especially speaking with you, Ava, is this concept that part of why we're here is not just to live our purpose, but to bring our purpose into the world in a very sustainable, nourishing, abundant, supportive way. Yeah? Because there's so many women also who are living on purpose, but they're not doing it in a sustainable, nourishing, abundant way. So what would you say a little valuable tip would be for someone to start to turn that around for themselves? If they know that they've had the dream, they're living the dream, but the dream's starting to turn somewhat sour on them because they're, you know, perhaps putting in too many hours or losing lifestyle or something like that, what would you say to them?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in that case, we can start with the little small pleasures in life. I think that is a fantastic way to start. For me, because I came into all of this originally with my food background, I started dressing up my food in beautiful ways. I started pouring all my drinks in a wine glass. Just those little things that started to add, it's kind of like the difference between, you know, oatmeal that's like slopped onto a plate and a beautiful, like beautifully like sliced chopped apples laid out on the side of the plate with the oatmeal and nuts sprinkled into one corner. You know, it just feels different. It has a different feel. So if you can start actually just doing those little things to just clean up the vibration of your environment, just to make it feel really good, feel supportive, nourishing, and this is, of course, whatever that means to you. So it's just about you going toward the things that make you feel good, starting
that.
With those little moments.
They're small things, aren't they? One thing I've been doing regularly is putting some fresh flowers on my desk and some on my living room table, so that I've got a burst of light and color and happiness in each. It's part of my working life, but every time I pass those flowers, it uplifts me. Can I come to your house sometime and have oatmeal with cut apple on the top? That just sounds so good.
Yes. If I'm in an oatmeal mood.
We don't have oatmeal here. Oh, that's beautiful. So what do you think would be the single most valuable thing you've discovered about yourself during this process of getting really visible and being on purpose, Ava? What was the one thing that you discovered that really, I think, surprised you about your own power?
Ooh, yeah. Okay, this is great. I'm so glad you're asking this question. So sometimes we have things show up that are, you know, they're those life things that show up where they are really uncomfortable. And it could be whatever it is. Maybe a relationship falls apart, or maybe there's an issue with a client, or who knows, or maybe you fall when you're on stage, right? Like, you know, those big things come up. And what I have learned is that even in those places where, especially around money for me, when I was figuring out the money thing and really learning how to make money, there were times where my bank account would go so low, like under a dollar. And it always filled back up. Sometimes maybe not exactly when I wanted it to, but like it always filled back up. And so what I have noticed being out in this risky place, being an entrepreneur, right, because we take risks as entrepreneurs, is that I have always been caught, held, like supported. And anytime something has, appeared to have gone wrong, I have found that it will eventually right itself, sometimes in the most beautiful of ways. And
that is gorgeous.
So, yeah, so as you all go out and start taking these risks as entrepreneurs and really just discovering what your purpose is, I just want you to know that you will always be taken care of and held and supported. And sometimes you might not know how in the world it's going to happen, but as you start taking more and more of these risks and you realize that it happens every time, it creates a huge amount of trust. And so I really feel like I'm living in that now, especially around money. I just have, I know that, like, you know, I'm making money this month. Like, I just know it. It's going to happen. So that's what I wanted to share.
What a gift, the gift of trusting in life and trusting in benevolence that all is well. And it leads me to the next question about you having that decision to really master the art of prosperity. What made you really decide? When did you decide that that was something that you felt that was, you know, it was an important part of your quest?
So I think originally when I was in my nutrition company, I felt like my health concerns were the biggest part of my life quest. Like, you know, I'd had some digestive trouble and some dental stuff. And then as I got into being an entrepreneur, and especially as I was starting to support other entrepreneurs, I realized that actually my biggest lifetime wound had been around money. And it started in my childhood. We grew up with a very low income. And even though we had a piece of property, it was pretty underdeveloped. We didn't have indoor plumbing or an indoor bathroom. We didn't even have a real bathtub until I was about 12 years old. And so I realized, and this was a couple of years ago, this realization showed up that there was a lot of scarcity mindset that I had learned as a child. Because you see, the thing that happens is, for me at least, being in line at the food bank or being at the grocery store with food stamps, if you're hanging out with a lot of people who are in that poverty mindset or kind of in the victim mode where they feel like they don't have any control over anything, is that you pick up a lot of that. And I had. And so I finally saw that. And I there was one day, like, I was crying. I was in Los Angeles, actually, at a conference, and I was like, I am so ready to not have these money struggles anymore. And and that was like just the big decision. And I took action around that. I actually, you know, hired the support of a mentor at that point who taught me how to really make money through my company, and shifted the way that I was working with clients, and even more money started coming into my business. And but that was like what it really was, is realizing that, you know, it wasn't necessarily physical health wounds that were my biggest thing I was working on. I was actually, I feel like I'm here to heal a money wound. And I'm several years into healing that now, and it's been fun and challenging, and but I'm also enjoying it. I enjoy learning about all this.
It sounds like you're having a delightful, blissful
That's
time.
Right.
Discovering your power. And I think many, many women are heading for a much better handle on giving themselves permission to do the same, to delight in what they're actually here for, and to feel good about charging what their worth is, which is actually perfect for the next question I have, because so many women, especially the heart-centered, empathic, caring, sensitive, conscious women who tend to frequent the Sacred Women's Business Circle, they are feeling really burnt out from giving, over-delivering, giving so much whilst undercharging for their incredibly unique services. So what would you tell someone, what advice would you give them if they were struggling around feeling this burnout and over-delivering resentment due to low self-esteem and low self-worth? What would be their first steps to turn that around for themselves?
I feel like one important thing there would to be, and this could either come through someone around you or a mentor or a coach, I feel like it would be really valuable for that person to really hear how unique their services and offerings are. And I know my one coach that I was working with, she did this for me, where, you know, we realized that I had all this like childhood money stuff going on, where I grew up poor, but I actually grew up in a pretty wealthy community where I, like, people would take me up on their airplanes and buy me clothes and loan me their mansions. I mean, like, so it was very interesting, a very interesting duality of being lower income within a wealthy community. And when my coach noticed that that was very interesting, that I had grown up like that, I actually realized that that could be of service to people to be sharing about that and what I experienced from that. So I think if any of you are struggling, you know, maybe not thinking that your services are important enough or valuable enough, it can be really helpful to have someone else show you how unique you really are. This could be just a conversation with a colleague even. I think that's a really good place to start there.
Thank you, Avril. I think that's wonderful, wonderful advice. So really getting someone who can listen and hear you and hear what you're offering and seeing how unique it is and how valuable the outcome of what you're delivering is. Gorgeous. Anything else around wealth consciousness, especially on that piece around low self-esteem? So someone who perhaps has been struggling with their sense of self belief or self-esteem.
So one of the biggest things that I've also been learning about in this whole process of healing my own money wounds was about universal laws of prosperity. And it's so interesting because I've come to learn that if we have a service that we want to offer or sell, like we have something we want to give the world, by universal law, there is another person out there who needs that service. Because it's kind of like opposites, like you have to have the opposites. They have to be there. So It gives a real peace of mind knowing that when you develop a service or an offering, there are people out there in the world who need exactly that. And they also, they need it to come through you. So even if you have a service or a product that might have some similarities to someone else's service or product, there are people there who they'll only be able to hear it and to understand it when it comes through you, when you are the one delivering it to them. So just knowing that, like, it's almost like we are, if you can envision, like, we're all matched up to certain people. It's almost like, I almost look at it like, you know, the energetic cord, like, going out. Like, I know that there are people in my future who I haven't yet met, but I know that they're meant to be supported by all of this through me for a period of time. And so everyone on this call, just know, like, you have people out there already energetically matched to you. And then you just have to be visible so they can find you.
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say what you just said. I've always felt that to be true, that we have these soul connections to people who, and like you said, they may be interested in what other mentors and coaches are doing, but the fact is it's only you can deliver your Dharma, your gift, in the way that you deliver it, with the stories and the life experience and the energy you put behind your talent. It's actually one of a kind, which is very, very precious, right?
Yeah. Yes. And you deserve to receive money for it. That's important too. You really do. We all do.
We all do. And that leads me to the, when you were speaking about universal laws, I love that for the women on the call who do have a deeply spiritual nature, that there was, earlier in the call, I mentioned this dilemma with a lot of spiritual women who feel that it might be seen as greedy or non-spiritual to actually require abundance for their sustainable, sustainability in business. What would you say about putting spiritual and abundance in the same sentence?
Ooh, I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I say yes.
Yes, isn't it? Those words are aligned and matched to one another well. They're well partnered, right?
And actually, I'd love to share this example. So, I have a little brother who's actually several years ago decided to become a Hindu monk, and so he lives at the monastery, and so I lovingly refer to all of the other monks there as my monk brothers. And so
how beautiful.
So having a chance to have interacted with this Hindu monastery, And I really hope this helps, any of you who are feeling kind of that tug and pull between, like, spirituality, and no matter what your spirituality is, you know, we're just using this as an example for everything. The Hindu temple, what they do is they provide service to people, whether that's through inspiration, writing, newsletters, workshops, speeches, opportunities to meditate. People will do tours sometimes on the property, and with that, because they are being of service, many people do choose to give money to this monastery, and that's what keeps them going. I mean, you know, like, pretty much everyone else in the world, like, they run on money, right? I mean, they pay money for things. I've always been interested in how that kind of plays into our business as well, because we can be giving people even spiritual value in a way. Like, if they just feel good working with us, or if they feel a greater connection to the universe, or whatever term they might use, if they feel that through us, you know, that's us being of service and really giving them that opportunity, and just like many of the holy places in the world, they accept money. They accept donations. I think the only difference is that we have a set, like, fee, and, you know, we're asking for that. But it's very inclined.
That's a great example of it also all being well for the sense, earlier you mentioned that feeling of trust in the universe, that, you know, there's benevolence there to provide for you, and that when you have conceive of the idea of what your purpose is, and you conceive that it is to be of service in a particular way, that there will always be a match for you. And in that respect, you in fact are doing a very deep service that comes with the functionality of prosperity or exchange being provided. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be a monetary thing. That's the other part of this, is we're not just looking at abundance when we look at prosperity. We're looking at the incredible things that are being exchanged in ways that are deeply endowed blessings for all of us. And that part of it, I think, is inspiring too, that there's abundance everywhere in every part of what we have to be grateful for and blessed for. And, what do you think made the real difference for you then, Agar? What was your one turning point that you think really exploded things to this state of trust in the universe and to this state of really feeling that you're on path and that you can trust?
Yeah, I keep going back, you know, to that moment I was talking about being down in Los Angeles and being like, I'm done, you know, I'm gonna figure out how to make money. That was big, but mixed into that was also a risk. At that point, what that risk looked like for me was hiring someone to do a lot. Like, I wanted her to do a lot of training with me around this. I wanted her to teach me how to make money. And so, hired her, and that was a risk. Like, that was a monetary risk. I didn't necessarily even have all of the money to pay for her. Yeah. I had to actually earn that money. I had to create that money. And so I think mixed into that, kind of having a little bit of a fire behind me, like where I knew I needed to create that money, that really helped me, actually. It really helped me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You had no plan B, right? You had no.
Right. You have to do it.
That's very brave, very courageous.
Yeah. And then I did it again. I did like two rounds.
I would like to salute you, and I bow down with absolute reverence, because there's not. Not all of us can cope with uncertainty. I'm a big risk taker myself. I love taking risks, but I certainly also appreciate that we do live in a fairly conservative time in some respects around taking those sorts of risks. And if you were to indulge yourself to disclose it to many family members or the older generations of people around us, they might just say, you are absolutely, utterly crazy, Ava. What are you thinking?
Yep.
But you in your heart knew what your truth was, and you were prepared to do it anyway, right?
Yes, and sometimes the things our intuition points us to don't exactly seem to make sense. But I have just learned you listen and you go along with it, and you're right. My family would probably think I was crazy when I did that, but it sure taught me a lot, and it all worked. And just like I was saying before, like, I was always supported and held, and it all worked out. That's the great part. It all worked.
It all worked out, and I would love to start to wrap our fabulous conversation up on that note, and with that beautiful phrase that it all worked out, because it will work out for you. You who are listening to this call, you can trust that you're being divinely guided. You are. Your life matters. Your business matters. Your purpose matters, and you deserve abundance and prosperity to support you and nourish you in your cause, so that you can then reach out and support those many, many people who are just waiting for you to step up. Have you got any parting words, Ava?
Oh, there's so much more we can say. I want to thank all of you, and whatever route you now step out on to uncover aspects of your life purpose, I just want to encourage you to step forward in some way to uncover that, whether it's through meditation or hand analysis or working with Lisa or working with a mentor of some type or journaling or whatever it is. It's just so important to find that, because when you can connect to a huge and great vision for yourself, those little day-to-day things that sometimes might hold us back, they will seem smaller, and you'll be able to just let them slide off your back and keep moving forward, because there are people out there who need you. So go find them and let them find you.
Oh, Ava, that is so beautiful. I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your delightful, blissful, and powerful quest with us.
Thank you.
I think you're very true to all of those words, and it's been an absolute delight to have you. Thank you so much for agreeing to the interview. I just feel deeply, deeply honored and blessed to have you. Thank you, Ava.
Thank you, Lisa.
And goodbye to everybody. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful evening.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us. Bye, everyone. Bye.